This week, President Bush signed legislation including the Tibetan Policy Act to promote self-determination and greater freedom in the Himalayan Kingdom. Since 1950, the Chinese government has ruled Tibet and limited access to the region. But recently, in an effort to demonstrate more openness, Beijing organized a trip to Tibet for Western reporters. On the itinerary was a notorious prison in the capital of Lhasa. Human rights groups say that prisoners there are routinely beaten and tortured, some to death. Beijing disputes those charges. NPR's Rob Gifford was on the trip and brings us this report, the fourth in a series.
As public relations exercises go, this one was always going to be a hard sell. Taking a group of foreign journalists around the infamous Drapchi prison in Lhasa, all part of a recent charm offensive by Beijing, China's leaders want to prove to the outside world that not only are Tibetans generally happier and more prosperous under Chinese rule, but even prisoners are being treated well. The head of the prison, Lu Bo, is a slight man with a smug air about him. He starts off what must be one of his first ever Meet the Press events with a suggestion that the prisoners in Drapchi have a better life than many ordinary Tibetan herders and nomads. He says there are 900 prisoners in all and that 11% of them are there for endangering state security, the euphemism for anyone imprisoned for demanding or pushing for a free Tibet. About 60% of those are Buddhist nuns and monks. Journalists press Lu about deaths in custody. 15 in the last 4 years, he says, all of natural causes. But independent research by the Tibet Information Network in London suggests that around 20 prisoners have died in Drapchi prison alone as a result of severe abuse since Lu Bo took over 4 years ago. He's then asked specifically about the case of Nawang Sandrol, one of the so-called singing nuns of Drapchi, a group of imprisoned Buddhist nuns who smuggled a tape of anti-Chinese songs out of prison in 1993, making them the focus of campaigns by international human rights groups. Lu says because of repeated counter-revolutionary activity in prison, Nawang Sandrol's initial sentence of 3 years has been extended 3 times. One thing that human rights activists are celebrating about is the release within the last 6 months of 6 prominent Tibetan political prisoners. Some analysts suggest this is tied to Chinese President Jiang Zemin's visit to the United States later this month. Clearly irritated by difficult questions from foreign reporters, Lu says recording equipment must be left outside, and he then ushers the group into the main prison yard. Beside the entrance is a large sign in Chinese for newly arriving prisoners. It reads, "Hurry up and reform yourself and make yourself a new person." The group of journalists is then shown evidence of how prisoners can improve themselves, from a workshop where they weave carpets to a library. Even a rock band performs a song about how the Communist Party has helped them reform. Journalists are not allowed to talk to any prisoners. Lu Bo says the number of prisoners sentenced for endangering state security, what human rights groups call political prisoners, has significantly decreased over the last decade. 10 years ago, dozens of people were being rounded up for agitating for a free Tibet. He says there has not been a single case brought into Drapchi yet this year, and last year there were only 2. This he attributes to what he calls more social stability and greater economic development. It's one thing that he and Western activists and scholars can agree on. Robbie Barnett is a Tibet specialist at Columbia University. He says many Buddhist monks and nuns are still pushing for a free Tibet, but Drapchi and the threat of being sent to Drapchi have been instrumental in persuading many ordinary Tibetans in recent years that it's just not worth demonstrating.
I think it's definitely the case that people have weighed up the consequences and decided it's not worth going to prison. I think they respect these people, and they particularly see monks and nuns as people who make sacrifices on their behalf. But there's no question that they have to try and get jobs and live and so on. But I'm not sure that that means they think those things were worthless.
Barnett says as the Chinese pour money into the economy and education and infrastructure in an effort to buy off Tibetans' allegiance, people are turning more to getting an education or getting rich, finding more sophisticated ways to oppose Chinese rule. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Lhasa, Tibet.